been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the hurricane edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm with clients all across America. We have a pretty good start to the market today. It started off real slow and it's gaining steam right now on some weak economic reports. That's good news. The Dow is up 137 points right now. That's 40 basis points. It's just shy of 35,000. The Dow is at 34,000. 989. The S&P 500, meanwhile, is up 44 basis points. It's up almost 20 points, 4,517. The NASDAQ is up 70 right now. That's 50 basis points. So it's doing best of all. There must be another drop in interest rates, expanding that multiple, which helps the growth stocks the most. The NASDAQ is above 14,000 once again. It's at 14,000. And 14, the small caps are flat today. Crude oil up 75 cents to 81.91, just in time for the Labor Day weekend, a big travel weekend. Gold is up 990 to 1975, and the 10-year is down to 4.10. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm flying solo here today. Barry is traveling. He'll be back with us on the show tomorrow. We've been watching the hurricane come ashore near Coral Key down there in Florida and then kind of in that Big Bend area. It is headed our way. It's hitting Valdosta, Georgia, around in there right now, and we expected it about 5 p.m. in Charleston with about 40 to 70 mile an hour or 40 to 50 mile an hour wind. So far, I would say maybe not as catastrophic as expected. But if you have a home there or if you're under the weather that is being dumped, rain, winds, etc., is catastrophic for you, I'm sure. Well, we had a good day in the market yesterday. We had a really good day, and it really points out the truism that interest rates are moving the market more than anything right now. We had the JOLTS report that came in weak. That's job openings. How many job openings? Hey, what happened? There were supposed to be 9 million job openings. Instead, there were only 8 million jobs openings, making the pickings a little slimmer. The bond market had a huge rally. Let's not forget, we were at 4.35 just last week, and now we're clear down to 4.10. So we've had a 25 basis point drop in interest rates here in the last week and a half or so. Does that mean that they're taking out a possible interest rate hike this year? That's what it would seem like. It, to me, makes no sense for any more rate hikes in 2023. And maybe the market, that's what the market's pricing in right now. But again, it's going to be data dependent and on Jerome Powell's mood. If he's grumpy, he's going to hike by a quarter. Or if he's told to do it, never know. I'm not so sure that the Fed is as independent as we think. We shall see what will happen. But I don't expect any more rate hikes this year. The Dow was up 293 yesterday. The S&P was up 64. The NASDAQ was up 239 points. And I want to tell you that, you know, you look at those big tech stocks, they were just alive. They were electric yesterday. Big moves coming in a lot of the leadership stocks in 2023 that have been pretty quiet recently. because of those rising interest rates. Okay, so we had quite a good day yesterday. We're off to a good start today. Number yesterday, they were expecting 9.6 million job openings. Instead, it was only 8.8 million job openings. And that's what set off the rally in the bond market. A rally in the bond market drops interest rates. Interest rate dropping helped the multiple to expand, the P.E. ratio, and that impacts the higher P.E. growth / tech stocks the most. Bitcoin broke 27,000 yesterday after the court vacated an SEC ruling on the Grayscale Bitcoin ETF. That was kind of surprising news, and you had Bitcoin move above 27,000 for the first time since August the 17th after the federal court. I got my cat visiting me here this morning during the show. No, you can't join us. No, not today. Maybe later. After a federal court vacated an SEC commission ruling that had prohibited Grayscale from starting a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund in the U.S. Well, there is the GBTC. That's the Bitcoin ETF that I keep an eye on. It must be a foreign. I didn't know that Grayscale was foreign, but they did get an okay to maybe start a Bitcoin exchange-traded fund here in the U.S., and that helped Bitcoin. Bitcoin's back over 27,000 right now. We also have some news out today, and it's bad news for the economy, which is good news for the market. The U.S. quarter two GDP revised down to 2.1% from 2.4%. Is that good news? Jerome Powell is watching every one of these reports that come in. And I'm sure, Q2 GDP, that's a pretty big one. That's how much did our economy grow during the second quarter of this year? Only 2.1%. That's pretty sluggish from the prior estimate of 2.4%. So it was definitely a pretty big downwards revision, and I'm sure Jerome Powell is watching that. And again, it would lead me to say, how can you hike interest rates again with the economy? You know, pretty much everywhere you look, you're seeing some slowing here and there, even in the jobs market, which, by the way, we get a very weak ADP jobs report today. On this Wednesday. Now, the ADP jobs report is the private payroll report. The one that most people go by is the big one, which will come in on Friday. And that's the non-farm payrolls report. But listen to this. The ADP jobs report came in at just 177,000. That is very anemic. The consensus was for 200,000. And back in July, we had 371,000. So that is a big cooling off in the ADP jobs report. That's a monthly report. It's been a pretty poor predictor, however, of the non-farm payrolls report. But, you know, isn't this the time of year when people start laying off, after the busy summer season, especially a lot of the seasonal stuff that restaurants and motels and hotels and resorts, etc. But definitely a big cooling off there, at least in that one report. And it shouldn't come as any surprise that our trade deficit continues to widen. What went out of the port? $91 billion. What came in the port? $164 billion. That's a big difference. The difference is $91 billion, we continue to run a huge trade deficit. We are importing much, much more than we are exporting, and that, of course, also goes to your GDP and knocks it down, and that could be one of the reasons why we had such a big drop here in the GDP. All right, well, when we come back, We'll look a little bit at inflation in other spots around the world. Some earnings that we're expecting here tonight. Some earnings that have come in already. Some pretty important ones yesterday. Some class action lawsuits. Apple's new event to launch their iPhone 15. And a whole lot more. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. I don't hear the music. Maybe I cut out a little early. There we go. There it is. Okay, we'll be right back. Best Stocks Now show being hosted by Bill Gunderson and his cat today. He joined in with us during the first quarter of the show, probably the only live talk show across America today that had a cat as a co-host for a few minutes. He's gone now with the door locked to the studio here. Okay, now, we've got a pretty good rally going on here in the market today. I think that the weak non-farm payroll, but the private payrolls report, ADP report coming in weak, and the lowering of the GDP for Q2 have something to do with a 2-point drop in interest rates today and a 40-point rise in the NASDAQ and a 73-point rise in the Dow. Now, how important are these interest rates and how far have they come down? They've come down 25 basis points. Not in last week's newsletter, but the one before, actually the one before that, I said the correction in the market is coming to an end because it looked like to me that the interest rates were peaking up in the 4.25, 4.3 area. Well, the market did pretty much come to the correction in the market, which was pretty stiff. I mean, ARC went down 21% during that July 27th period until a few weeks ago. And interest rates did continue to go a little higher after I said the sell-off is over. But the sell-off was over. The market was looking ahead to lower interest rates. We finally peaked at 4.36%. Now we're clear down to 4.10. So like I say, we've had a 25. That's a quarter of a percent. That's a huge drop in interest rates. With a few bad economic reports, and that has done the trick, especially the JOLTS report, followed up by a weak ADP, private payroll report, and a downgrading of the GDP for Q2 2023. Germany's inflation is still running at 6.1%, obviously a lot hotter than we're running right now. We're probably running in the high threes right now. They obviously want to target 2%, so they got some work to do in Germany. I think that the ECB has probably got some more rate hikes unless their economy continues to slow down. But Germany's got some sticky inflation still, 6.1%. U.S. airlines are expected to see record traffic over the Labor Day weekend. Well, it's good to see people flying again. There is some talk of COVID coming back and mask mandates and new vaccines and wanting everybody to get one and this and that. But in the meantime, people will be free and traveling this weekend in record numbers, especially at the nation's airports. Earnings after the close tonight. Salesforce. Well, that's a big one. Salesforce is a member of the Dow. CrowdStrike, which is a cybersecurity stock, Okta, which is a software stock, Veeva, which is a medical software, or medical software stock, medical device stock, and Chewy, a dog biscuit stock. They'll all be reporting here tonight. Okay, you know, every day there's a few weird stories. I kind of like weird stories myself. Burger King faces a class action lawsuit over its Whoppers being too small. Restaurant brands will have to go to trial after a federal judge in Florida rejected a motion to dismiss a class action lawsuit over the chain making its Whopper burger appear larger on the menu board than its actual size. The judge in the case ruled that consumers could have reasonably relied on depictions made on the menu boards. Well, how many times have you seen this? You drive by a billboard and there's a Big Mac. And then you go to the restaurant, you order a Big Mac, and it doesn't look anything like the one on the billboard, right? I mean, the cheese is overflowing and the lettuce is overflowing. And you get one and it looks like it's, wow, it looked pretty skinny to me. This seems to me like it could open up all kinds of lawsuits with this kind of thing. I had my father, you know how they have these knife shows at the fair, the county fair. They're cutting pennies in half these magic scissors or knives that can cut through just about anything. My dad would always say, I'll buy one if you sell me the one that you use in the demonstration. Well, they never would do that, but he was always a little bit suspicious. But, you know, look, I've seen a lot of Whoppers. I've seen Big Macs. I've seen every chain have this beautiful-looking burger, you know, on the menu board or on the kiosk inside or on a billboard. And the one I get doesn't look anything like it. So I guess I have the right to sue. What is it worth, though? I mean, well, if it's a class action suit, how many Whoppers does that represent? I don't know. Apple sets September 12th event to launch the iPhone 15. Are you going to run out and get one? September the 12th for a fall launch. This is 15 already. Man, I can still remember 1, 2, 3. Now we're clear up to 15. And along the way, there's been a lot of improvements. The camera is excellent. I like the bigger sized ones myself. But other than that, I can't say there's been a lot of improvement over the years, and I can't see people running out to get the 13. But we'll see. They'll be announcing what they've got in the works here soon when they launch it on September the 12th. Okay, we like to check on this Vietnamese electric automaker, which has been all the rage here recently. It's either getting clobbered on a daily basis or it's soaring on a daily basis. It continues to have a massive market cap. They haven't even made a car yet, as far as I know. It's called VinFast. The symbol is VFS. It's a Vietnam-based company that manufactures electric SUVs, e-scooters, and e-buses. It's up 8% today, but it's back to 50. It's back to $50 per share. How high did it get? It got pretty high. It got all the way up to a few days ago. It got up to $93 per share. It's back to $49. So keep your eye on VinFast, VF. I would stay away from it if I were you. Amazon CEO says come back to the office or else. That's the head honcho, Andy Jassy. He's fed up. The chief executive officer told employees it's time to return to the office. Business Insider reported, citing a recording of a meeting from earlier this month. It's past time to disagree and commit to coming. If you can't disagree and commit, I also understand that, but you won't be working for Amazon anymore. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the final segment of today, or the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we've got the markets up today on some weak economic reports. We've got Hurricane Idalia out there. Idalia? I don't know how to pronounce that darn thing. When do they get these names? It's headed our way later today. We'll get it around 5 o'clock this afternoon in Charleston, but right now hitting that Florida panhandle area. We've got a decent market taking place right now. Now, I wrote an article for Seeking Alpha. Look, between the bureaucracy and I don't know what else. It's amazing anything gets done on Wall Street. That's why I've always been a bit of a rebel against Wall Street and the big firms and the big websites, the big financial websites and whatnot. I sent them an article on Saturday about NVIDIA. things are kind of time sensitive, you know, when you write an article about an individual stock. Finally, after getting through all kinds of red tape and bureaucracy and, oh, geez, finally it gets published yesterday in the late afternoon, in the afternoon on Tuesday. So from Saturday till Tuesday is what it took for them to get it published. It's kind of lost all its luster by then. And by the way, the stock was one of the biggest winners in the market yesterday. It would have been nice for them to have gotten it published, you know, Monday morning, but I guess that's expecting too much. I was recruited to be a writer for Seeking Alpha by the founder, the late founder of Seeking Alpha. He was a great guy. I really liked him, and I enjoyed writing for Seeking Alpha, one of the very first writers with him. You can look up what my track record is with them on Tip Ranks. Go to tipranks.com, type in Bill Gunderson, and you can see I'm ranked in the top 2 or 3% of all of the bloggers out there, writers, and amongst my peers in the industry, I think I'm in the top 4 or 5% out of a pretty large field of about 13 or 14,000. But the bureaucracy and the red tape and all of this and that that you got to go through, I get a different editor every time that doesn't know me. Who are you? Then they recruited me to be one of their premium guys. There's only 250 premium writers on Seeking Alpha. And yet I got to go through a bunch of red tape every single time. So, you know, that's why I'm reluctant to give them articles. I would write a couple articles for them every week, but by the time you go through all the hoops, I just don't know that it's worth the trouble, the headaches, the stress that it causes. Maybe they'll get their act together, but, you know, I've been waiting for that for a long, long time. Okay, well, Outlook Therapeutics plunges as FDA rejects their wet AMD therapy. This has nothing to do with AMD, the tech stock. But, you know, this is when you invest in biotechs, this can happen. Outlook is down 83% to 23 cents per share. When I was living in San Diego, that's a pretty big hub, very big hub for biotech. We have UCSD there. We also have all the Jonas Salk Institute there, so a very large biotech community. I had a lot of friends that worked in the biotech community, and I saw a lot of disasters. One day they're working for a biotech company. The next day the drug gets rejected. Stock goes to 25 cents a share and everybody gets laid off. It's a difficult industry. You know, I don't know what percentage, if anybody's ever done the metrics on what percent of new biotech startups actually come up with the product that is profitable. Get it to the market first, number one, and then number two, then get it to profitability. It's got to be a pretty low percentage. And so I like to look at these big winners in biotech when they show up in the market, but you also got to point out the pitfalls in the biotech industry. ChargePoint Holdings is a top clean energy pick at J.P. Morgan. One of the firms that I rarely agree with is J.P. Morgan. Now, I like ChargePoint. And then what happened? Everybody started adopting Tesla's technology. Ford, GM, Mercedes-Benz. Where does that leave ChargePoint? It leaves them in kind of a pickle. So, you know, ChargePoint has really dropped a lot. I'm sure there's still room for them out there. I think in the early days, this was one of the most promising EV charging companies. But now that everybody's adopting Tesla technology, it seems like it's going to be an uphill battle for ChargePoint. But that doesn't keep J.P. Morgan calling it a top pick. Well, good luck with that. Peloton Interactive is finally cut at Macquarie. They've had a buy rating. Oh, they had an outperform rating on it while it's been tanking for several years now. Well, not years, but for a long, long time. Peloton topped out, believe it or not, at $171 per share. That was in 2021. They weren't making any money, but they topped out at $171 per share. Where is it today? Six. And when does Macquarie downgrade the stock? Today. Okay. They're a little late on that, but hey. Look, I'm just an observer. I'm an observer of my industry on a daily basis. Hewlett-Packard reports earnings. Okay, so Hewlett-Packard split into two. You go way, way back. Hewlett-Packard was one of the great stocks, one of the innovative stocks, but we're talking 25 years ago, 20 to 25 years ago. And after that, it, you know, started to really falter as the printer business really became a commodity. And then it became you're making money on the ink and nothing else. So they split into two, okay? They split into the enterprise business, which is their services. That's all of their technology, enterprise, service solutions, cloud-enabled, mobile-ready type stuff. That stock's held up a little better. But it's never moved too far from like the mid-teens, $16 a share. The growth rate is single digits. And that's the better half of Hewlett-Packard. They just reported their earnings. Their sales were up 1% year over year. Earnings up 2%. Okay, and then there's the equipment side of the business. Which is the printers, the hardware side of the business, which is HPQ. That's their original symbol. And it's been, that business has been going down for quite some time. They just reported their quarter. Sales were down 10% year over year, and earnings were down 17% year over year. The stock is down 7.8% today. After a pretty lousy report, it does pay a big dividend, 3.7%, but it's pretty much a non-growth company. I don't care if it's the enterprise side or if it's the hardware side. Okay, another one that's a little disturbing here, and I'm seeing a pattern here. I'm seeing a pattern in the higher end consumer type stuff. It seems like consumers are backing off of the higher end. Mastercraft Boat dives. Well, that's a good verb there. After slashing guidance due to weakening demand. Now, this is the second or third big boat dealer that has talked about plummeting demand. Mastercraft Boats is down 11.6%. 11.6%. Yes, I know summer's coming to an end and this and that, but still, that boat business, this is like the second or third one in a row that said, you know, sales just aren't going very good. I gotta believe interest rates have something to do with that. And you know what? The price of boats has skyrocketed, absolutely skyrocketed, since the pandemic. Now, I'll be writing the newsletter. I begin tomorrow. I start zeroing in, thinking about what our featured stock of the week will be. I've got it narrowed down to about three. We've had some pretty good winners there. If you'd like to get two free weeks of my newsletter that I've been pumping out for the last 24 years, you can go to GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about money management, custom money management, give us a call at 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment. 855-611-BEST. We'll take a deep dive into the market here when we come back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, looking underneath the surface of the market, it's pretty slow day here. I think a lot of people are impacted, obviously, in the southeast anyways, by the hurricane. You got a big Labor Day weekend coming up. It seems like Wall Street gets an early start on all of that. We've had some weak economic reports here today. That's good for the market in this current condition we are in, the market, with bad news being good news. And I'm not seeing a whole lot. The big tech stocks seem to be taking the day off after a phenomenal day yesterday, okay? So it's okay to see a little bit of a, it's not a pullback, it's a quiet day. The NASDAQ's up 33, the Dow is up 1 point right now. In the Dow, Apple is the leader. Apple is up 1.3. Apple's made a pretty good turnaround. You know, right when I said that I think the correction is over, that was the bottom. That was the day Apple bottomed. Apple bottomed finally at 172, and now it's 186. So it's up $14 per share, about 8 or 9% off of that bottom, and it's headed in the right direction again. Is there a great value on Apple right now? No. The valuation is pretty stiff. It does not have a lot of upside potential. I consider it to be a hold. I would not be putting new money into it at this point unless they can really do something to juice their earnings. They're looking for 8% growth next year in earnings. Now, maybe this new 15 is going to have some kind of bells and whistles that everybody's going to want. But as of now, we don't have any more information than what's out there, and that's what the stock is trading. Boeing is also having a pretty good day. Boeing's had some pretty good news recently. They had that little setback with Spirit Aero Systems and one of the parts. Now you've got China back in the mix, putting in orders for 737 MAXs after a four-year pause. And a Boeing is back to $230, almost $230 per share. It's up 1.1% today. On the downside, 3M. 3M had a pretty good news week earlier in the week when they hopefully finally settled their earplug issue. And the stock is pulling back, however, a little bit. It's down 1.2% today. J.P. Morgan also down 1%. Well, with picks like ChargePoint Holdings, no wonder. I'm just kidding. It's down 1%. It's a so-so stock. It's a ho-hum stock. The big banks just don't look very good as investments right now. Over at the S&P 500, one of the biggest winners we ever found, but we have not owned it for a while, quite a while, was Dexcom. Dexcom made a mechanical pancreas that you wore on your belt for diabetes people, and it was a massive breakthrough. It was a game changer. It was one of those companies that really shook up their industry. It's not the growth vehicle that it once was, but one of the biggest winners of all time. It finally topped out at $164 a share back in 2021, and today it's at $104. It's up 3.9% today. I'll tell you the other leaders in the market today, the home builders. And we do own one home builder, and it's done very well for us. The home builders continue to do well in spite of a 30-year mortgage over 7%. Why? Because there's a shortage of homes. And they're doing well today and yesterday and the day before because interest rates have come down a little bit. They are very interest rate sensitive. And they go up when interest rates go down. D.R. Horton is up 2.2% today. Lennar is having a good day. Lennar is up 2.1%. And Pulte, those are kind of the three big ones. Pulte is up 1.8% today. One of the leaders in the S&P 500. Looking over at the NASDAQ, it's quiet. Sirius Satellite is the biggest winner. I think I saw that the CEO was buying shares in Sirius. It's up 4.8%. Ulta is up 1.4%. Apple's up 1.3%. Not much happening. Now, the Big Seven, okay, yesterday, awesome day for the Big Seven. Let's see how they're doing today. Tesla. Tesla is down 1%, but Tesla has definitely turned the corner. That happened on that Friday when I said that the, from my perspective, the correction is over. Tesla went through a stiff correction. It went from 300 down to 278 during those 6 or 7 weeks. Now it's back to 254. So it's had a pretty good rally off of its low here, about a 20% rally. But today it's pulling back a little bit. Okay, another one of the Big Seven. We just mentioned Apple. Apple's up 1.4% today, one of the better movers. AMD, which has kind of come to a screeching halt. That's a pretty good chart on AMD, however. It's up 0.5% today. Seems to me that AMD has pulled back to a pretty attractive level here at this point in time. NVIDIA, which was our biggest holding, continues to be our biggest holding. We bought it on January 18th of this year. It's up 1.5% right now. It's at $495 per share. And if you go out on Seeking Alpha, they finally got my article published late yesterday afternoon. You can look at it, read it. Go to Seeking Alpha, look up Bill Gunderson, and you can see other articles that we've written there over the many years that we've been one of the leading writers for Seeking Alpha. AMD is, oh, we just did AMD. We got to do Microsoft, okay? Microsoft, one of the other big seven, probably the third best AI, or the second best AI stock right now. Yesterday they announced their enterprise version of ChatGPT. That's a big deal. Microsoft is flat today. And another stock that's been making noise this week as they get ready to really unleash Bard and take on Microsoft, that's a nice chart on Alphabet, very nice chart. It's up less than, it's up almost 1% right now. And then the last of the big seven is Meta. Meta is down 1%. All right, well, if you'd like to get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, you go to GundersonCapital.com. If you would like to set up an appointment with us, talk to us about money management, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.